They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, this is Sue Bartholomew, and I'm very thrilled to have in the studio with me today Dr. Wes Rocky. We will meet Dr. Rocky in just a minute, but first I wanted to remind you that on this show we have talked about how stress affects you, your health, and there's a lot of stress living in an HOA. We've had Dr. Gary Solomon on talking about it, and we have focused a lot on that, but the question is there anything that you can do about that? Is there some way that you can mitigate the ill effects of stress caused by your HOA on your health? And so I will put that question to Dr. Rocky, who believes in self-healing and believes that there is a way that you can take care of yourself and mitigate the ill effects of stress. Thank you, Wes, for joining us.
Hello, Sue. Thank you very much for the opportunity of speaking to you and your audience. And my intention is to expand on more the practical tools how to deal with the stress. We already know the fundamental message that the stress is the number one factor behind most of the chronic diseases. So actually, without any hesitation, we can state the stress kills. So we know that. And today's program will be more focused on how practically we can use this knowledge to stay healthy. And actually, I'm joining you as another healer because, you know, the conflict with HOA is the same as conflict with your disease.
That's true.
Conflict with the healthcare, conflict with the insurance agencies, plenty of conflict. And the major tool we have, and this is really, really good news, is that we have our physical body, our mind, and spirit, all of them having self-healing capacity. We have this most amazing machine in the universe which heals itself. Not only heals itself, but talks to us all the time. But the trick is that we can hear our body, our intuition talking to us only when we are empowered, when we are weak, when we are losing our balance, when we are surrendering our self-value to somebody else. That communication with our intuition, our body, is getting lost. And you know, that knowledge is directly applicable to owning property, because you know, you own property for two reasons: to have freedom and to be at peace. So what we are doing in this program and this studio is teaching people how to return to the state of peace and freedom.
Can I cut in here for just a second, Wes? You said your self-value.
Is there at some point when you're fighting to maintain your balance, maintain the sanctity of your home and all of that, is there a point where you actually lose your self-value? Do these conflicts make you feel like you have no value?
Yes, it is indeed the core of the conflict. Any conflict brings the worst in us. We are acting more from our attitudes, beliefs, actually even from the childhood wounds, more than the objective situation. And the problem is that, you know, that approach is in the both sides, from HOA people and from homeowners people. Because look, I believe that most of the people involved in HOA are doing this for free.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so let's think, what is really the motivation? The motivation is to feel good about what they are doing for free. Feeling good, it means that they are using that to heal their own emotional wounds. They would like to feel better about themselves at the expense of bullying other people.
So let's go back. They were kids. You said the emotional wounds that they had when they were children. So growing up, these wounds have festered, and now you're saying that by becoming sort of one of the leaders, if you will, on a board, that they are trying to make themselves feel better by putting you down?
Yeah, you see, the funny thing about childhood wounds is that they were initially created as a way of survival. This was the time up to age of 6 where we were in so-called hypnagogic stage, when we had no information about the means to survive early childhood, which were completely dependent. So we accept many things as true, even though they were not true, just to survive. And the problem is that we carry this attitudes acquired at the age of 6, 7, into our adulthood without any opportunity to revise and update them. We know very well that if we get really upset in the fight, we behave like 9 years old or even younger, with the resources, with the limited resources of this angry age. There is a beautiful author, spiritual writings or self-development. Her name is Caroline Mess. And she brings the idea that we connect in any relationship, we connect at the level of our woundology. In other words, in the simple conversation, when I approach you for the first time and you start conversation with positive, saying how good I am, what I achieved, whatever, that will not bind us as closely as you will start with telling me what bad diseases you have, what the problems you have in your life. That connection is much stronger, the connection on the level of woundology. And this applies, this applies to relationship. You know, there is the typical situation that we get attracted to somebody because we can relate to these wounds. But then when we continue this relationship, it usually ends up badly because coming both from the wounds level, we cannot heal each other. And that is the situation when we get conflict with HOA people. They come with us, on us, with the intention to bully us as way of working on their own wounds, as way of getting their own self-empowerment. Because self-empowerment is about preserving energy. And our body is energetic organism. We need preservation of energy. So what we see as a fight, say, with HRA representative, is actually sparing in the energy when one party tries to disempower the other party. And then our outcome to win is to be self-empowered, which brings the clarity, which brings the resources, which brings the capacity to reframe the conflict. You know, Albert Einstein is famous for many things, obviously, but for me, he is very famous for that statement in which he says that the conflict cannot be resolved at the level of consciousness which was created. And we know that, you know, in domestic conflict, if somebody comes at you very angry and you answer with the same level of anger, the conflict doesn't get resolved. We have to expand and find other level in which has capacity to resolve the conflict.
I think I do.
So one of the ways, no, fight. We are in the society when being at fight is the virtue. We have, even in our daily life, we have terms related to war. We have war on cancer, we have war on drugs, we have war on poverty, and we are not really winning these wars. In medicine, you know, the basic reaction to the disease is to fight it. And the outcome is most obviously the obituaries. When we read that somebody died after 3 years of fighting the disease.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we fight, we become owned by fight. It becomes our identity. There is a Buddhist teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, who says that if you have a problem and if you fight it, you have two problems. You have your original problem and you have fight. And the same is resistance. You know, I believe that the first reaction when we are challenged by unreasonable demands from HRA is resistance. And resistance is another form of fight. We know that expression, what we resist, it persists. We actually are empowering the very object by resisting it. So, what is the solution?
Yeah, I was going to say, so you're faced with all of these things. You're faced with a fatal disease. You're not supposed to fight it. But I want to, before we get into that, I think what you're also saying is that words have meaning, and that when you take the word war, you've sort of created something in your mind, or somehow you've given it a whole new life. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and obviously word, war, or any other word, is just expression of the state of mind. In other words, to say I am at war means that you are at war in your own mind. And if we are at war in our own mind, all we can create is more war. We cannot create peace. So to deal effectively with the conflict, we have to find place in our mind which is outside of the conflict. And then conflict gets resolved rather than prolonged in like otherwise. No, because let's remember that words themselves in the communications are probably less than 7% of the content of communication, that the most of the communication is nonverbal. And that nonverbal part is direct reflection, what is happening in our mind. And, you know, let's kind of agree or accept the fact that there is nothing very exciting happening in our mind most of the time.
Oh, I don't know about you, Wes, but sometimes my mind has a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Well, let's examine that. You know, the scientists calculated we're having 60,000 thoughts per day.
Wow.
And 80% or plus are repeated from day to day.
Yeah, okay.
There is no much of the originality which may bring solution.
Okay.
Also, 80% plus are negative, because as humans, we are wired for negativity, because this will guarantee our survival. Those who were nice natured and they were focused on smelling the roses, they died off. All we are as a result of evolution are negatively wired, grumpy people looking for the fight to survive.
All the grumpy people out there, yeah. There are a lot of grumpy people out there, especially in an HOA.
So, you know, we don't want to get into this very simple, unproductive situation when they are coming on us and saying, I'm going to bully you, I'm going to show you who is the boss, and you are saying, no, you are not going to bully me, I'm going to resist you, and this goes to nowhere. Because there is something which is common to medicine and probably in the situation in HO, that you are dealing with a big, well-organized institutions. Like in medicine, when we are faced with diagnosis, and then we are being offered a treatment. Usually we surrender and accept first treatment which is offered, because the whole situation is usually overwhelmed for us. There is so much information, there is so much inconclusive information that we feel overwhelmed, and then we are open to first suggestions without looking for options. And this applies to medicine, this applies, I believe, to relating with HO conflict. So what are the solutions? Solutions, one of them would be to reframe the situation, to find something first, something good about the person we are dealing from HA. Because, you know, they represent the institutions, but eventually this is a person-to-person conflict. So one of very productive tricks is to look at the person and define something positive in them. Something positive may be in character. If this cannot happen, maybe appearance. You know, if you cannot find anything positive about them, at least you may say they are breathing.
Maybe that's not such a positive thing sometimes.
Well, breathing is becoming, you know, very important. Like for me, with aging, the breathing is becoming more and more important. Then another very important tool is reframing. Reframing in terms of way we are seeing them. Again, the goal is to be self-empowered. So we can use the gifts on our imagination, and as we are dealing with the person in conflict, we can see them smaller. Actually, we can see the image of them getting smaller. If we wish to be more humorous, we can see them naked. as long as we don't act on them immediately.
Okay.
We can see them wearing ballerina tutu, for example. In other words, we are breaking the convention that they are stronger and we are powerless.
This kind of goes back to when you're in front of an audience and you're nervous, just imagine your audience is sitting there totally naked, and then it just brings it down. I mean, that's one of the classical things that people tell you. But this is along the same lines, right?
Right. And that may connect you to staying in your power by putting on your face so-called Buddha or Mona Lisa half smile. That, you know, the our mind-body relationship is actually two-way street. That often our body expresses what is in our mind, but also goes the other way. If we arrange something on our body, this influences our mind. You know, and we know this very well. For example, many people effectively cured their cold, their flu, by dressing very elegantly, by cleaning the environment, because, you know, they are sending message to the virus, hey, we are not afraid of you. A virus said, wait a minute, I was supposed to make you miserable and sick, and you look beautifully. Forget it, I'm going home, I'm leaving you.
I'm leaving you, okay.
So, you know, the same is that when you do something to your body, it feeds back to the state of your mind. So if you put this very delicate and diplomatic half smile of Mona Lisa, you are sending a strong message to your mind that you are at peace, you are in charge of the situation you are in. Next, in the conflict which is not fair, and in the conflict which you have to end up at peace and free in the end, integrity is very important. In other words, you will not win but thinking one way and speaking another way.
So wait a minute. Let's talk about that. I've got my opponent. My opponent's right in front of me. It may be a person, it may be a terrible disease. And if I'm thinking to myself, cancer, get the hell out of my body. I don't want you anywhere near here. You know, that's normal. But to say, oh, I'm so glad you came. You're going to give me an opportunity to see what I'm made of. And that's sort of the positive integrity. But that goes against the integrity that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that you are completely on
a different plane.
No, you are completely on target. Actually, this is very important, what you just said, because there is a tricky point in it. So
okay,
we got cancer, and we say, I hate you, cancer. I am very upset with you. My body deceived me. But you know, the cancer is in your body. So the message you are sending to your cancer is the message you're sending to your body.
Okay.
The alternative of that is this kind of sweet talk, a very brainy talk saying, oh, cancer, you came for higher reason to teach me whatever, so I have to accept you. Both can be actually form of resistance, form of fight. The alternative maybe is to accept, or rather embrace, what is just because it is, without spending much of energy why it happened, and put all the energy how to productively deal with the situation. Obviously, at the same time, you may say, well, there is obvious lesson. For example, lesson would be that my chronic stress brought me to this, contributed to cancer, or my dietary errors contributed to cancer. Yes, that is a lesson, and embracing that will modify our lifestyle, which may contribute to healing the cancer. But at the same time, we have to approach the healing with loving attention to our own body. You know, if the child will get flu, you know, you wouldn't yield in that. You embrace and support and love it. At the same is our body, particularly when we have a disease or any other challenge, which may be a conflict with HA. This is the time when we have to give additional dose of self-love when we face conflict. And the integrity is that we cannot fight the fire with a gasoline. We have fight fire with a fire extinguisher. And you know, everything narrows down to the most effective medicine for everything, including conflict, which is love. And it's not necessary this romantic love. It's an energetic state of vibration at peace and freedom, which is labeled as love. In other words, you can go very strong on me, bullying me as much as you want, but I have still option what I experience in the term of emotions. You know that very famous doctor, Dr. Viktor Frankl, who wrote this book, Man Search for Meaning, Survival of Concentration Camp, who said that they can impose on you the most inhuman, most intolerated situation, but you have still freedom how you relate to it.
How you deal with it.
That's right. It starts first with the freedom how you relate in your own perception, and that it is reflected how you deal with it. Remember that in conflict, the one who preserves energy, who preserves peace, wins. For example, you know, we have example of the fight with the football. I don't know much of the football, but it looks for me a little bit energy illogical when two guys, 300 pounds each, are heading at each other at 30 miles per hour. You know, in our society, we have this expression, take the bull by the horn, right?
Yeah, it's true. Yes, we do.
Well, this is probably the worst thing to do this, because this is where the bull has its power, right? What about another pattern of fighting? Martial arts, kung fu fighting. When we are actually focused on managing the energy, and we take the energy of the aggressor and redirect it. We actually use the energy to redirect it and actually benefit from the energy. Like, you know, again, from Oriental Asian culture, the Japanese sumo fighters, right?
Mm-hmm.
The deal is to trick them out of balance, so they lose balance, right? Well, imagine the HO coming on you as a sumo fighter, 300-pound sumo fighter.
Squish the hell out of me, yeah.
That's right. And if you allow them to go straight on you, they will squish you. But if your focus will be how to gently take them out of the balance, then you win.
Let's take an actual situation or one. I mean, I get all these calls and I get all these emails from people, excuse me, with some of the horrors that go on. Let's take one of those and give us an idea of how one could do that. Let us say that you get a letter from the association telling you that you have, in fact, you owe them money and that they're going to sell your house. So you go and ask them how they figure you owe them money because you know you're paid up. So where is the money? Please show me how you figure that. How do I owe you the money? Now you've got somebody who's about to lose their home, and they've got the HOA has the legal authority to do that, and you've got a manager whose job it is to come there at 8 in the morning or whatever time, and quite frankly, they don't like you. They want to get rid of you, so they don't show you the documentation. They just say, you have to pay $10,000 or else we're just going to throw you out. We're going to take your home. Handle that. You're the homeowner. How do you knock them off balance, and how do you push them? Because it seems to me they're holding all of the cards right now.
Well, the first is you can consider not playing their game because you are expected to be frightened, right?
Yeah.
When you are frightened, your perception of the situation is distorted. You don't see whole picture when you are frightened. When you are frightened, you are likely to respond with default, which will be exactly what they want you to react with. So, I think that the technique which I am very excited, which is called improvisation, would be useful in this situation, because improvisation is the attitude which you take, accept something, what is happening, and explore on that. In this situation, you have situation which says, yes, but. The improv will teach you to see this situation, yes, and. For example, just from one of your shows, remember that show about the dinosaur?
Yeah, absolutely I do.
And that improvisation, yes, and, resulted with a very smart idea of this lady who started to rent dinosaurs with the proviso that people will make donation for the good cause, right?
Right, yeah.
So this is the best example of applying improv to the situation when you are coming up with something which is completely outside of what would be expected in this situation.
There are degrees in an HOA. There are a lot of different degrees on what can and can, you know, what happens. For instance, let's take the dinosaur case. The homeowners were told they would be fined, that if they did not remove the dinosaurs, they would be fined. So, yes and, or yes but, or however you're going to put it, that's fine. The dinosaurs will not be in my yard, but they're going to be in their yard. And so they've taken that and they've got a situation where these dinosaurs are just going around the neighborhood, and every time they go to a different yard, the HOA is trying to find out where they are. But in the meantime, some charity got a $50 donation. And Nancy took the dinosaurs and moved them to another one. But now it's in a situation where it's your home. They are telling you that you owe them $10,000. You know that you have not missed a single payment. The legislature in most state, in almost every state, has given the HOA the power to take away your home to collect that $10,000. So they can sell your house for $10,000. It may be a $500,000 house. They can sell it for $10,000, take the $10,000 they claim they owe, that you owe, and then you're still left. You know, somebody else has bought a $500,000 house for $10,000. You still owe the mortgage, and you're without a home. So some of these fights are really, really serious fights. You don't want to lose your home. You don't want to lose your credit. You don't want your kids out on the street. And you don't know, because you know that you don't owe them anything. You don't know how they came up with this $10,000 that you allegedly owe them. And they won't give you that information.
The much more important value which person may lose in this situation is actually health. So my recommendation of using any tools to break the reaction of the panic, anxiety, and use any tools to come to the peace which gives the freedom to see the situation different, which also means that you can see solutions which you cannot see right now. Because as you are describing the very scenario, there is actually no solution. That what is coming is almost happening. But when we get ourselves to be disempowered, frightened by this situation, we cannot find the solutions which are completely outside of the paradigm. And, you know, it would be difficult for me to give practical example, but the default is to stand outside of the character, which allows you to stand outside of the situation. Because if you are... Look, I listened to that program with a lady who was talking about her problem with farms she bought, right?
Yeah, Martha.
Yeah. Remember how resourceful she became in finding solutions completely outside of the box, right?
Yeah.
But when she was talking about this, what impressed me in watching her, not only what she spoke, but she, how she behaved, she retained her power.
She was so positive. She never, in all the years that I've known, all the time I've known Martha, she's always been supremely positive, and she's always had a big smile on her face. She's always sort of found something positive about the people who are causing her the most harm, and she's won them over. And that goes back to the beginning of the show. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, find something positive about yourself. You know, this is my main advice, which I give to people when they come overwhelmed with the disease. Please find something what is working in your body and make it bigger, because then the body and your mind will pay you back with the resources you will never expect that they exist. Remember that we have the most complex machinery in the whole universe as applies to our mind, as applies to our body.
Yeah, you're right.
And as long as we are willing to appreciate this, as we are willing to resist getting into panic, losing energy, then we have access to the information and the solution we would never expect they exist. Not only this lady from the farm won the personal battle, but looks how many legislation applicable to other people she brought.
Yeah.
So definitely she was operating on some different level of consciousness. Again, going to Albert Einstein said, you cannot resolve problem from the same level it was created.
You're right. You're so right. That was an excellent and outstanding example. And it's one that's been unfolding on this show right here because she's been on a number of times to talk about it. And I just read that she's been granted, that the court has agreed to review her case. So she's appealed it, and there's an appeal going on. So she's still winning.
And, you know, you are bringing another important point, which, again, is common for medicine as well. That we want solution. Like, you ask me a question. This is the situation. Give me solution.
Yeah.
But, you know, often there is no solution immediate.
Yeah.
And when you accept that there is no solution immediately, and you are okay with that, it opens you up to the solutions which you will never expect. When you say, you know, I am sick, they gave me 4 months, they told me go home and take care of my affairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I may say, okay, I owned it. This is one piece of information. That's it. And I am comfortable with it. I am okay with me because I am endless. My body has endless capacity to be healthy. My mind was not generated 66 years ago. My mind is the product of thousands of years of evolution. This is perfect instrument as long as I give power to it, whether I acknowledge its existence. Then I'll be rewarded with all the solutions we would never expect.
You know, this is all very exciting. Because for years and years, and I still hear from people, and they all come up with all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues, and it's sort of a little bit overwhelming. But I like the way that you say, just basically step back and assess the situation. And once you're not focusing on that particular issue, then you might be able to see solutions and alternatives that you won't be able to see if all your energy is going to what the initial issue was, correct?
Yeah, I would rephrase what you said from stepping out to stepping in. I would advise to step in into your own power. And this may require the paradoxical giving up. You know, on Christmas, I got the mug with a Winston Churchill famous statement.
Never
give up.
Yeah.
But you know, this was applicable maybe for war to kind of empower people for the survival. But in daily situation, that magic thing, give up, may be a solution. Because if you look at that expression in a different way, it may also mean that by saying I give up is I am giving up on that level which there is no solution, and I am giving up into higher level of consciousness, higher level of understanding. Maybe for some people it would be spiritually, connection with God, connection with nature, connection with the family. But something which goes up to the level where there is more solution, more knowledge, more intuition.
When I said step out,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking in a conflict when you're fighting, you're in a ring.
Right.
Like a boxing rink or the sumo wrestlers. So step out of the rink, which in essence is pretty much saying the same thing.
That's right, because then you reframe that situation.
Then you're not in there. You're sort of away from it, and you're able to look back and see what's going on.
That's right. So I would like to appeal to your listeners that, you see, the solution, we always search for the immediate solution. We are in the society of immediate reward and immediate solution to a problem. But be careful with that immediate solution, because usually it is not the best solution. And what you just described, stepping out, brings you to the dimension of many other parallel solutions. You know, we can always return to the first solution, but after we have big selection. And then we say, well, maybe the first one was not as bad. But this comes from the freedom of seeing many more possibilities.
I like the message that you're sending is that we are not stuck with anything. We have the freedom and we have the option of examining our options, what other solutions there are. Because quite often you get so overwhelmed and you just feel like the whole world's been dumped on you. And you just can't wiggle out of it. But you're saying that's not true. You can. You can use your body and your mind to be able to reframe it and to direct the energy to a different place. Don't focus on this, but focus on that and find the solution.
You see, because they power, you describe very frightening situation.
Yeah.
But day power is when they stay in their character being empowered by legislation or whatever.
Yeah.
But for them to be powerful in their character, you have to stay in your character.
Be true to thine self. To thine own self be true, right?
No, you have to stay in your character as a victim. This is what they needed to be powerful.
Okay, I'm with you. All right. Yeah.
So if you then, and your default, your knee-jerk reaction will be to stay in this character because it's frightening, and frightening brings more fright. It's very addictive. It's very appealing. It's very overwhelming. So this is kind of dangerous dance, because for them, to have this dance, you have to dance to their music. But you have your own music. You know, when you arrive to the point of buying the house, owning the house, you gave the testimony that you have tremendous resources in surviving this life effectively. Having house. How many people can own the house? So you are already a winner. You are already a resourceful person. Don't giving up when you are facing fight with HOA.
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 I like that. And I like the fact that you use the word victim, because it's a word that I absolutely hate. And a lot of these people who call me, they're victims. They tell me they're victims. And I tell them they're not victims. That they can do it. I don't know what the solution is, but don't give up. I mean, don't be a victim. And I think I'm saying, putting it in different words, but essentially saying the same thing. Don't allow them to call you a victim. Don't feel like a victim. Feel like a winner. Just find whatever it is that's going to put you in that position.
Yeah, I fully agree. Again, this reminds me that we are both in healing profession, because if a patient comes to me and says, I am diabetic, first thing, I teach them English. I suggest to them to say, I am Mr. Brown, having symptoms of diabetes, of having lab data indicating that I have diabetes. You see, I am That disease doesn't own me.
Okay. This it doesn't just define me.
Doesn't define me. And you know, why people...
I like that, yeah.
Why people go so easy on the victim? Because it's easier. You know, it's actually easier. It's actually easier to be a victim because you are not obligated to think on your feet. You are not obligated to be big, and that is easier. Also, being a victim is very addictive. It's almost like a narcotic, you know, because it you surrender your power to others, so you are less responsible. You have less work to do. You are just reacting. The default of victim is reacting, not creating.
And, good point.
And you know, everyone says that everyone wants to be powerful, but nobody wants to have responsibility and accountability of a powerful person. That is not very popular. That's why you wonder why these people who arrive to home ownership, having successful life business-wise, they default to victims. Because it's easier. And the situation is so overwhelming that we default to the easier. Like, there was a movie, The Scent of the Woman, with the famous actor, I forgot already who was it, but he said the beautiful thing which always stays with me, that he said that I made many major mistakes in my life. And most of the cases, I knew I was making mistake as I was doing this, but I did it only because it felt easier.
Wow, that's pretty profound. That is pretty profound.
So remember that the default is the easier. Fighting a bull by its horns, it's easier, is default. But the outcome is not good. And the most important, I would like to your listeners to carry this message, that you know, you already proven that you are smart, that you are effective in this society. You own the property. And you own your body and your mind, which have unparalleled capacity never met by anything else in the universe. And then you carry intelligence and resources, not you, Mr. Brown, 33 years old. You are carrying intuition and wisdom of the generation by generation of evolution. There is nothing more successful when properly used in the universe. And when you compare this to artificial organization of HOAs and people acting out their own wounds and deficiencies, then you are the winner. But move your focus from that paper tiger to your endless wisdom and intuition.
You know, Wes, you've given me, and I'm sure all of my listeners, a lot of food for thought. And unfortunately, we are out of time. But I would like you to come back, and I would like to continue on this. Because I think there's a lot of really good information here, practical information that you can use to heal yourself.
Yeah, it would be very interesting coming back and focusing that time on two very effective tools which I am now passionate about, namely improv, which is considered one of the healing methods in medicine, and the second, comedy. Used in the conflict situation as a winning tool. I'll be very interested not only talk about this, but practice with you on the radio.
Sounds like a plan, so we'll put that on the agenda. Thanks again. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.